Hey, gay. Gays. Gay.
Should we start over?
No, we don't start. We only cut slurs. That's the only time we ever cut anything.
Hey, private information. Gays.
Private information about who we are outside of this. And if we're in the people we have sex with. That's it. That's the only time we ever cut anything. Nope. We've always been, I think, one of the more aggressive, might I add, pro-LGBTQ baseball podcasts out there. I think we might be the only one, to be fair. So, yeah. What's up, my gays? How about them? How about the New York Rangers canceling the Pride warm-ups on their players, right? Isn't that fucked up?
Oh, is that what everybody's talking about? Because I saw somebody like tweeting about they should cancel police night that's upcoming or something. Is that what this is all about?
Gotcha. So, this is from what I read yesterday. I have not checked up on it. But the Rangers were going to wear like pride uniforms for their warm-ups and have like rainbow tape sticks. You know, just, you know, you can look at it as like, you know, oh, typical rainbow capitalism. At the same time, it's representation. That's good. I always look at pride nights as a good thing. And especially when players say they like him, like Liam Hendricks. He's a dog. That's why he loves our pod, bro. Liam, you know, you're a boy. Anyway, but they did everything like, you know, we have like, you know, pride on the Jumbotron, pride cups, shit like that. But they didn't have the players come out wearing it. So it's probably because they have a player that's like pretty not into the idea of equal rights or some shit. Like the Flyers had like a guy that was pretty vocal about it that didn't participate in one of their pride events. But to the Flyers' credit, they threw him under the bus. Like, yeah, it was this fucking guy. He didn't want to do it because it conflicted with like his like. I think he. I'll need to check up on
with this, his small like his, brain. It conflicted with his half a brain that he has.
It's his Eastern Orthodox, Christian Eastern Orthodoxy, because he's Russian. And, listen, you know, I believe that, I don't believe you should be respectful to everyone, but I do believe you should be respectful to people who are right and valid. And if it comes down to, two things here, one thing, which is completely real, and one thing that's complete bullshit, then I think you go with the real thing. Now, our conservative listeners, don't listen to the next 15 seconds. The bullshit thing is religion. The real thing is queer people, okay? So, he got flamed onto that, and the Rangers are getting flamed on it as well. As, you know, they should, as they should get flamed on hardcore for that. That's hockey news. We're a hockey podcast now. Hockey gay rights podcast. That's, yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
I kind of liked me and Ryan's Elaine and Kramer episode when we were a basketball podcast for a while. That was fun.
That was pretty adorable.
It was a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like to play that episode when I want to go to sleep. It's really good. we have an interview that we're going to play at the end with St. Louis comedian Ella Fritz. She has a special coming out in March. She's really cool. I've known Ella's been in the comedy scene her entire 20s, that's for sure. I think, Ryan, you may or may not have been involved with that scene or known about the scene. You may or may not know Ella, but was she doing it when you did? Allegedly, you started.
She may or may not have been doing it at the same time that I did or did not.
Okay, so also before
do
me,
what she yeah. does.
So before me, we don't know what Ryan. We talked. Ryan would only go and watch. He didn't participate. Not easy to find. Ella's been doing it then. When I did comedy was 2016, and then I stopped like what 2021. So, yeah, it's been doing it 7 fucking years. Anyway, she's got her first special. I think we should write together. So we'll air that interview at the end. We'll have a short one here. Please stick around. You guys will love the interview. It's kind of a good, I think it's a good formula to do, especially off season. We should have more guests on. One, I think it helps our numbers. Two, I think we've got a good vibe going lately. I think we've really kind of been pretty good. In terms of our level of comfort. And I know Nick's not on this one again. He's got some family things pertaining to. He's our sweet little Italian boy. He did give us his top 10 list. We had to edit it down quite a bit. What leapt out to you guys on his list, guys? That was pretty.
Well, you want to do it? His 10, like just.
Yeah, we're doing top 10. Top 10 catchers today, and.
I could read it. I'll read it out if you want to get that out.
You have to be in character as Nick. So.
This stupid fucking fuck.
No, just say that a bunch of time, and I'll put some bleeps in. Is what I'll do.
His list is Jacob Stallings, honorable mention. Another honorable mention is Salvi Perez, Nick, Sean Murphy.
Nick loves Salvi. I was kind of taken aback by that.
He has JT Realmuto as an honorable mention.
That is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
That little and, shit.
And then Gabriel Moreno. So.
Yeah, I'm surprised. This is probably his worst list. And,
I know from us texting back and forth, he probably put Sean Murphy as an honorable just to be like, I fucking hate this guy. I'm glad we didn't get him. So that's, imagine.
I still don't understand the Sean Murphy hate. Why? Why do we want Wilson over Sean Murphy? A clearly more complete player.
Yeah, I mean.
Younger.
Defense is going to become less poignant at that position.
It is.
Wilson's a better hitter, but I mean, we win either or.
I just think getting Sean Murphy would have helped us get someone else this offseason.
He picked Gabriel Moreno, and is Moreno still with the Blue Jays?
No, he's in, he was the Varsho trade.
Okay.
So he's in Arizona.
Okay, so this is his equivalent of his Adley Rutschman from last year. That's what he's doing. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, I can respect that more. What the fuck is the JT Realmuto thing, though? He was the best catcher last season. Like, I get it. Guys have off years. But JT is easily top 10. JT Realmuto is top 3, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So.
He's okay. Top 3 for me.
He's been the best catcher, the last 5 years?
He's like, amazing defensively, amazing offensively, and he can run the bases. He'll steal you bases, too. That one's weird, because he's a dirty greaser, okay? And I figured Nick would show some Italian solidarity with his kin.
But he is a very anti-vax, so you got that working. You know, maybe that's where Nick's at.
Yeah, but I mean, he does love
Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado. So
he does. Yeah. There's, you know, principles. Principles only matter if you make them make sense to like win an argument or something like that. That's what I've learned. Like, I was talking about player value between F war and B war. And I was like, they're like, which one do you like to use? He's better here and not as good here. I'm like, whichever one helps me win an argument. That's the one I like using. Okay. What do the top 10?
We got MJ Melendez, Jonah Heim, mm-hmm. Cal Raleigh, Kiber Ruiz, Danny Jansen, Will Smith. Is number 5. And then number 4 is Dalton Varsho. 3 is Alejandro Kirk. Alejandro. I don't know why I said Alejandra. I think it'll be Lady Gaga song. Number 2, yeah. Wilson Contreras. And number one, I think you should leave man himself, Adley Rushman.
Adley. There is a lot with this list. One, MJ Melendez.
Varsho,
Melendez, and James.
Kybert
Ruiz doesn't make much sense to me either.
No.
He was a...
I have him as an honorable mention on my list, just for reference. But
let me look at some
I wouldn't
here.
Put him in my top 10.
Because he was like a heralded prospect. And then he gets a full season this past season. You know, hits below average, is pretty much as average as a catcher can be. So if it's like he's young, he's going to blossom, sure. But I think that means he blossoms into like an honorable mention type of player. Let me look at this real quick. What was his exit metrics here? Did he hit the piss out of the ball? Was he pulled a lot? Let's find out. Yeah, his average exit velocity is 33 percentile. His barrel's 11th percentile. I mean, his hard hit percentage is 11th percentile. So that's a miss in my eyes. He doesn't strike out a lot, but he also doesn't walk a lot either. The MJ Melendez thing is also weird to me as well, because he didn't hit that well either. So. Again, highly touted guy. Maybe he thinks he's going to, blossom, but I don't think he's going to. It's more likely he blossoms into an Ani more so than a top 10. I mean, he did have, 18 bombs, but who knows?
I mean, it does seem like 4 through 10, all 7 of those guys are all, upside guys. Like, he's just picked up, the young, they could have amazing seasons if it all... hands right for them.
I think Will Smith is rightly accredited here. I think he is. Will Smith is easy.
I'm just thinking he's
top 10. And Jonah
Heim. He's a young guy. That's just what I was.
Jonah Heim, Cal Raleigh. But I don't. Danny Jansen's a backup catcher. I thought about putting Jansen in my top 10, but he ain't going to play enough. And his value gets diminished there. The one that, Dalton Varsho, come on.
He's an outfielder.
He's a plus-plus outfielder now. He had... He should have won a gold glove. He had... Yeah, it's right here. He had 18 defensive runs saved in the outfield. Why would anyone want to put him behind the plate with that? He caught 17 games last season. He played... 49 games in right, 33 in center. Yeah, he's an outfielder by a mile. I don't think you jeopardize a guy that good by putting him behind the dish.
But, I did find out a fun fact about him, because his dad was a big leaguer, right?
Yeah.
And after his last game, I forget the date, but basically 9 months and one day later, Dalton Varsho was born.
Yeah,
his dad retired and just started busting nuts. And for that, I respect it. You know what? He can stay in the list. It's
I don't play for the Phillies anymore. And he just goes home and he goops his wife. That's what he does. He fucking gooped her. So, other than that, I mean, the Wilson Contreras being number 2, Cardinals fans, come on. Contreras is top 10, but top 5 is really pushing it.
I think it's okay to have a homer pick. I think that's totally
as second totally best fine. Catcher in the majors.
I think it's totally fine, Tom. Don't let your numbers
shit.
And your.
I'm not going to give you guys shit if we put Goldie or Nolan number 1 in any sense on that because
they're in the conversation, you know?
Yeah, not only in the conversation, you can be like, well, they took home hardware. But like, well, Freddie Freeman has as much war, and Manny Machado was 0.2 more. I'm like, don't care. They're better. That's at least, that makes sense, right? You can be like that. Those two guys are in the debate to be number 1. But Wilson, he's just excited. He's just an excitable boy that we didn't get Danny Jansen or Alejandro Kurt or Sean Murphy, and we got We got who he's been clamoring for since August, Wilson goddamn Contreras.
Well,
it's a better homer pick than last year. It's a better homer pick than last year when you put Yachty in his top 10.
Where did he put Yachty last year? Do you remember that?
He was like 10 or 9.
I feel like it was like, okay.
And not to be outdone, that's when I was like, Yasmani Grandal is like the best catcher. And then Yasmani Grandal said, no, I'm not. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, Tom, I actually used or go ahead, Ryan.
He's jobless right now, right? Like, he literally played himself out of the league, I think, last year.
Yeah, it's, yeah. Yeah. I think he's still with the White Sox. I think he is.
And, no, Tom, weren't you saying, didn't you say last year that if, like, Mike Zunino has, like, a 900 OPS, you were going to drown Biscuit?
Yeah, because Zunino, Zunino had a killer year. And, I have never been a Mike Zunino fan, stan. He sucks in my mind. And Zunino posted, like, in 2021, like, an 850 to 900 OPS. And he hit, like, 30 tanks. I'm like, this is an aberration. If he hits anywhere near that, I will fucking drown Biscuit in a roadside ditch. And Mike Zunino, ladies and gentlemen, posted, like, a 480 OPS. So this cat gets to live for at least another year. I'll say this. If Wilson Contreras posts a 5-plus war season, I will make Biscuit do the Hornsby Challenge. That's what I will say.
Just going to pelt her with balls.
Yep, shoot balls at her. Be like, you got to do it. It's for a bit, baby. So
We should do something like that doomsday clock that they just like move forward 15 minutes, but for like Mike Zunino throughout the season.
Yeah.
So it's like Mike Zunino has an 808 OPS and he's knocked in 12 dingers at the All-Star break. He's now got the starting job on his team. Let's move it up 30 minutes, boys.
He's got Contreras has to post a 5 war in both B war and F war. But anyway. Okay, that's Nick's shitty list. Who wants to go next? You guys want to dunk on me?
I'll go.
Okay.
It
better rule.
I think it might be pretty similar to Nick's list, so then you can just get this back to back. All right, here we go.
That means our show's in there. Okay.
Honorable mention. Mm-hmm. Salvador Perez, okay. Jonah Heim, Christian Vasquez, and Mitch Garver.
Okay.
My honorable mentionees.
Respectable.
Number 10, Will Smith.
Okay.
Controversial. Number 9, William Contreras.
Okay. Good.
Number 8, I got a Jose Trevino. Number 7, Cal Raleigh. Number 6, Tyler Stevenson.
Oh,
number
okay.
5, Sean Murphy. 4, Alejandro Kirk.
Oh, fuck, I forgot about Stevenson.
Number 3, JT Realmuto.
God damn it.
Number 2, Wilson Contreras. And number 1, Adley Rutschman. That's my list.
I'm happy you brought up Tyler Stevenson. I'm going to edit my list because I knew I was forgetting motherfucking someone.
He raked. Who knows raked if it actually happens again hard, this year? Yeah.
No, I'm big on and Tyler I had to, Stevenson. I am.
To, and then I felt like the one I had to defend, Jose Trevino was just so good defensively last year. It kind of got hard to pick, like, should I go for defense with catchers or should I just pick guys who rake? But I felt like I had to get Trevino on there just because he was so great defensively.
I put defensive metrics to as like an important factor, and that's where Trevino was amazing. But like, I left him out of my top 10 because defensive catchers, like their best season, may be hitting like around 700 OPS, and then they eat shit. I'm saying this because I got burned really bad by Max Stassi. So I am not going to make that mistake again. Trevino doesn't get shit from me until he posts some better hitting metrics than that. He, what was his WAR last year? He was top 10 in terms of F WAR, but I honest to God think he hit way above his weight because his hitting metrics were so bad, dudes. I think it's kind of impressive he hit as well as he did. What was he around, like 680 to 700 OPS, if I remember?
He went on a home run tear, I remember, like, in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
Just my mind's telling me it was on ESPN a lot because they love when the Yankees players do good things.
There it is. He had a 671 OPS, and he hit 248. His average exit velocity, there's so much blue here until you get to framing, best ever. Doesn't strike out a lot. That's it. And it's all nothing but blue. And I'm like, I cannot get Stassied again. So I want it to with Trevino, but if he doesn't rake, you saw this with Kyle, Higashioka? Am I saying it? I always call him just Higgy. That's what Yankees fans call him. Because they're like, Higgy pushed out Gary Sanchez. He is a great defensive catcher, which he is. But once he started getting everyday reps, he hit like dog shit, and then Trevino took over. So. Mm. Thank you for bringing up Tyler Stevenson, though. I knew I forgot someone. Good job, Brian. Other than that, I mean, good list. I think, like, the we'll see how he does, because defense is valuable, but, like, it's on the way out, right? Like, they had, like, another stat for, like, strike zone runs, which is not just framing. It's about, like, you know, one of the worst guys when it came to, like, receiving baseballs as a backstop was Kurt Suzuki, and, like, you know, being able to receive a strike that's near the edge and not lose it is, you know, also, you know, they find a way to measure that. I'm like, you're kind of too little too late. The shit's on the way out. So
that strike zone rating is a Fangraphs stat, right?
Fangraphs one, yeah. If you're sticking with, like, Baseball Savant, just stick with framing. I saw the strike zone one, but I didn't incorporate it. I just stuck with framing runs is what I did. Okay. Everyone's got a crush on the Adley boy. Okay.
Yep. All right. And I'll go ahead and keep that train moving with my list here.
What do you got?
All right, with honorable mentions, I had we had Danny Jansen. We had I did have Tyler Stevenson in there. I did six of them. Normally I do five, but catchers are weird, so. Yep. We had Jonah Heim, Keibert Ruiz, matching Nick there as an honorable, and then four, Reese McGuire.
You're a believer in the old Reese boy, huh?
Oh, yeah. We love an Irishman.
Give me that belt. Give me that belt, Joe Rogan. I want to choke myself with it. I'm going to bust. Joe Rogan,
that guy
say more misinformation about trans people.
His way to a batting title.
Okay.
Now my top 10. Okay, 10, Salvador Perez. 9, we had Jose Trevino. 8, we had William Contreras.
Oh.
7, we had Wilson Contreras. Okay. 6, we had old Cal with the Mariners, Cal Raleigh. 5, we had Will Smith. 4, we had Alejandro Kirk. 3, we had Sean Murphy, another fine Irishman. 2, we had Real Muto. And 1, we had the Ghosts. They're interesting. Adley Rushman. The man, the myth, the legend.
There's too much fucking shit on me. He's a Baltimore Orioles turbo team battery there.
Yeah.
That's a fine list, Josh. Wish I could say the same for two others. But, Josh, that's a really good-ass list. So.
Thank you.
Ryan, do you want to tear him down? There's crumble points on the line.
I mean, I would say it's we had a very similar list, except for my homerism with Wilson Contreras. So
I know
that's the homerism. So
I had Wilson at 7. Like, I was still going to put him in my top 10 and not put him at like 10, but 7 felt fair.
Well, Wilson Contreras has been probably the best hitting catcher the last 5-6 years in terms of OPS. So, like, it's not outside to see that and think, oh, that's valuable. And, like, even in a bad season, you're going to get a 700-something OPS and average defense with a good arm, right? So, it makes, like, I thought he initially was overrated, but then I realized that catchers just, you know, generally hit like shit. And that if, like, I don't expect Wilson to come here and pop 25 homers. I think he'll be right around 20. I think he might actually be under it because of how Busch Stadium plays. But, like, that's fine. Our fucking catchers hit like shit. They posted negative run value when it came to their offense. Anything from Wilson Contreras is a huge lift. So.
Yeah. I will say though, with him, it's the little fucking injuries. Like, he's constantly just like getting he's tweaking something. I experienced that last year in fantasy, having owned him, and it's just like, I mean, it's nothing major. It's nothing ever major, but it's just like, okay, so you're gonna miss, you know, maybe three to four games a week every 3 weeks because, you know, you had your toe got bruised or something like that. You know, stuff. It's probably mostly it's bad
boo-boo.
Luck. I mean, hey, these fucking players make these goddamn millions of dollars, and they don't have the heart to show up.
Yeah, man. It hurts.
What is America coming to, boys?
Hey, man, pain sucks. Let's just clarify that. Pain sucks.
Yeah.
Pain I get a bad case of love. Diarrhea. I don't want to go to work. Like, hearing these white collar, blue collar, Oakley sunglasses wearing mofos, like, complain about, like, what was in football, Ryan? Lamar Jackson, he had he was wearing like a knee brace and he couldn't play because his knee's fucked and he sat out the playoff game for it and people were ragging him for that. I'm like, dude, no, your health's important. You're going to be good for a long time. And the Ravens will be come on.
The same injury RG3 had.
Yeah.
And then he chose to play and then it ruined his career. Like, just don't do that.
Yeah. One thing I could say, boys, is fucking Joe Flacco would not Joe have Flacco. Sat out that game.
Hell yeah. Popping a beer to that. Yeah. Hell yeah.
I do love Austin, dude, that's my favorite character. Like, Stavros' character of that, and then calling every backup catcher backup Lamar, and then we had backup Lamar's backup, and he was doing pretty good for a while.
Ronnie from Baltimore. We gotta get Stav on. He'll come on a podcast that has like 120 people that listen to it, so that's good.
Yeah.
That's 3 times our Twitter following. Not relevant, but, you know, that's cool. all right, we're ready for my top 10?
Yeah.
What, late
you,
on
oh,
me, daddy.
No, I'm sorry. Am I putting you out, Ryan?
It's just, you know, we know yours is going to be the best, Tom. We know that you've toiled over this for 3 weeks now. You've put all the numbers in the generator, and you're like, what is that? What is the most? How much F4MB war does he have? I just fucking was like, I like the way his name sounds, and I wrote it down.
Okay, well, I made two lists. I forgot I made one when I was in St. Louis way ahead of time. And the new one I made, I used different things I thought were important. So my old list is dead. So. Honorable mentions. I didn't hear any of you motherfuckers show any respect to Travis d'Arnaud. He is.
I took him off because I don't know
what team does he play for.
He plays for the Atlanta Braves, but it didn't stop him. Exactly. Didn't stop him from catching and splitting time with old Willie Contreras. Let's see. Yeah, Christian Vasquez, MJ Melendez. I think he'll have a good. I would say coming out, but he'll have a better year than normal. Joey Bart, just because it pisses Nick off. Austin Hedges, who is an out of the park baseball legend. I'm only doing it because of my love for OOTP, baby. That's it. And Keibert Ruiz and Salvador Perez. I like the Reese McGuire one. I think that was a pretty good one. I wanted to believe more in Omar Narvaez, but he really took a step back.
And he's pretty old now. I mean, he's, what, 32, 33?
Yeah, he's withered.
Yeah, he's not going to improve.
He's becoming a husk of the player he used to be. When he was a man, damn it. When guys played hurt with torn meniscus. Sorry,
and
both
we know
these.
About husks.
Meniscus.
We know about husks because we're a Cobcast.
The slob on your knob till you pop your Cobcast. Yeah. Number 10, who I always had on there and didn't just put on because Ryan mentioned it, Tyler Stevenson. Number nine, Jonah Heim.
Wait, who got bumped out for Stevenson? Who got bumped out?
I bumped out Salvi. Because I don't like Salvi's going to produce, but he's splitting time with the youngster. And I'm like, if someone had to go, it has to be him. So, Stevenson, number 9, Jonah Heim. Number 8, William Contreras. Number 7, Sean, fight you in the streets, Murphy. Fight you in the streets and fuck your dad, Murphy. That's right. I'm a gay gangster. What's up, all my gays? How's it going, gays? We're going to rehash that bit from the beginning of the episode. I'm going to suck you to fuck you the drink of Guinness. Fuck the Rangers. A bunch of pussies. All right, number 6, Wilson Contreras. Number 5, Will Smith. Number 4, Alejandro Kirk. Number 3, Adley Rutschman. Number 2, JT Realmuto. And number 1... Because, surprise, Ryan, I also am a homer. I'm a Mariners homer. Cal motherfucking Raleigh number 1, baby. Give me some. Give me some. That's when I initially made it, but I think for brevity's sake, I would put Realmuto 1, Rutschman 2, and Raleigh 3. But whenever I was making this, I got overcome by the spirit that is Big Dumper. And Cal Raleigh. Cal Raleigh spoke to me with his ginormous ass and his major league leading for catchers in home runs and slugging percentage. And he did something else too. I forgot. It must have been having just the best, greatest ass. And I know that's a lot to say considering at one point he was in a division with a man whose ass was a meme for the rest of the season. That was Sean Murphy's ass. But... Big Dumper, I'm enamored by it. I'm enamored by his barrel percentage, his ability to strike out way too fucking much.
It was like 30% last year, wasn't it?
It was. So the metrics I used for what I was looking for in a catcher, the offensive ones like home run and slugging, like really awesome there. Dog shit in terms of hitting. But here's the thing about Cal Raleigh. He's great at everything except just making contact. He was an awesome defender. His exit velos were insane. So the best exit velocity in the majors, okay? Cal Raleigh was third. His ball was screaming off his bat at 91 miles per hour for catchers. He had the best barrel percentage. He was top 10 in hard hit. He had a high launch angle. He was even top 10 in WOBA. And we all know how we feel about WOBA, right, guys? So
it's made up.
Raleigh will have the following. He will have a top three catcher year, or he will fucking splat against the wall like Mike Zunino. Because his hitting is a lot like Zunino's, his defense is not. And that's a saving grace. He's also the committed catcher for the Mariners. So he'll get plenty of times to rectify himself when he's hitting 160 in June. So I'm big on him, but reality, I will swap that around and say Real Muto 1, Rutschman 2, and Raleigh 3. So, yeah.
One thing I liked about all of our lists is I think we all had Kirk at number 4.
Did we?
Like every single person. I got to look at Nick's list again.
Yeah.
No, Nick had Varsho at number 4, I thought.
Oh, okay. He had Kirk at 3, but we all were like, gotcha.
No, he has Kirk is a good defender, and of course we all know he doesn't strike out, and he hit like 285. So like, let's say he sacrifices some contact and raises those strikeout numbers for power, even better. I mean, he was a double digit home run guy, so he has tremendous. I wouldn't even say upside. I think of it as like a, you know, one like a fucking video game RPG in terms of like what branch you can go to level up on. And Kirk has, I think, the most options. He's not, he can do kind of anything with his career when it comes to like his offensive prowess. So, but that's our list. Good list. We all like these lists.
Indeed.
Okay.
I like that you put Cal Raleigh on your number one just for the one Mariners fan who stuck around when we were briefly a Mariners podcast.
Damn right. We are loyal. I mean, they're my team outside of here, so I'll be watching them. I'm not sure. I know we got to play that interview, but, I mean, the Cardinals, Bally's going bankrupt. It's funny. The Cardinals invested money in it, so no wonder they didn't want to spend a whole lot in free agency, right? So, I guess we'll probably, I mean, the Cardinals will just play for local TV stations, like public access. It'll be filmed, but like guerrilla journalism, guerrilla filmmaking. Like
no, William, we're gonna have to fucking
William Friedkin on a scooter going down first baseline, trying to catch the perfect angle on a close play. You know,
they're probably gonna like broadcast to the Arby's app or something. So you gotta download. You gotta buy a roast beef sandwich to get the code for the game for that day.
And now for the Arby's horseradish play of the game.
That's actually kind of genius, though, Ryan, when you think about it. It's fucking evil, and it's going to lead to the diabetes epidemic in this country growing even worse. But fuck. Bill DeWitt really could do that shit if he wanted to.
He really could.
If he wanted to.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Cardinals will just play. All their games will be reported like a game of telephone. Their results of their game will just be rumors, is that we'll hear. So I guess we'll just watch the Mariners on my MLB.com subscription. So,
or yeah, they could just give us MLB.com and get rid of blackouts, and then it wouldn't fucking matter.
That would be too easy.
Too
that
easy.
Makes too much
and
sense.
Too popular. It makes
it's too much sense.
It doesn't make rich people rich. I don't know. We're not fucking anyone tonight. We're actually going to turn it over to our interview with Ella Fritz. I mean, you guys got any final memes?
How did Nick die? I know it's an honorable way.
AIDS.
AIDS. Oh.
Next question. You
know. Did he put up a good fight against it? Or
he was rescuing some cats out of a tree, and the cats had AIDS, and they bit him.
Okay. So, got it.
So, anyway. enjoy your interview with Ella Fritz, everyone.
Thank you.
Hey, it's Tom here. Welcome. This is the interview with Ella Fritz. Ella Fritz is a St. Louis comedian. She has a special coming out, and we are very happy to have her on. It's always good to have variety to a baseball podcast that plays itself as being some of the worst human beings. So we're trying our best to rehab our image as decent folk. Folks, Ella Fritz. Ella!
Hi, hello, thank you, hi.
Ella and I...
happy to be here.
How long have you been doing comedy? I was talking about this with Ryan.
8 years.
8 years. I was, trying to remember, because when I did comedy, it was in 2016, so that means you would have started 2014?
Yeah, 2014. I started after I graduated high school.
What got you into that?
I always wanted to. I don't know. It was the only thing I liked, basically.
Let's be honest here. I get it. We were all shut-ins. We watched The Simpsons day in and day out. And we were like, we can do this.
Oh, my God. I fucking love The Simpsons. Can we just talk about The Simpsons?
Please do. I'm not a big Simpsons fanatic, but I know whenever I was coming up through the comedy scene, I knew if I said anything disparaging about The Simpsons, the alt scene would kill me in the streets. So
now the alt scene, the younger people in the alt scene, they're like, I saw more Family Guy in South Park, which is fine.
I guess,
okay,
whatever. Yeah.
Whatever, idiots.
Ugh. What?
There's old, in the same way that the Cardinals are big parts of Fritz family lore,
mm-hmm.
So are the Simpsons. There's a there's an old video of me. I'm 2 months old, and my dad's holding me, and he's like, my daughter and I are watching a Lisa and Homer episode of The Simpsons. This is how I'm bonding with my child.
Okay, he says it directly to it. Like, what is that? Was it going to be issued in court? Be like, is someone... You're not spending enough time with your daughter.
It then cuts to me, not on his lap. He's holding his guitar, and he's jamming into the Simpsons theme song.
That's good. Wait, he was playing the Simpsons theme?
Yeah, my dad knows how to... my dad has been in bands for a long time.
We're
a semi-artsy family. There's... Oh, okay, yeah. So we're... Half of my family is very Catholic. We come mm-hmm. from, real Catholic roots. And then the other side is really into art.
Oh, nice.
So you're either going to have somebody who loves art or...
Repressed
loves...
artist.
Yeah, exactly.
you're the next Hitler. I get it. Okay, yeah. That's how we do it. You would really bond well with Josh. Josh came from a Catholic family. He went to school in Notre Dame around here, and Josh is one of our co-hosts. I forgot to mention that.
So many fucking co-hosts.
Yeah, it's a good thing to have revolving out, because whenever a guy needs off, we're whatever, we got it here. Whereas when we had a 3-man crew and one of us was on there, and I'd have to talk to one of these fucking troglodytes. Man,
well,
don't worry. I say this to him in person and when they're asleep, because I'm roommates.
I'm assuming. Well, I didn't assume sleep. I appreciate the devotion.
Yeah, it is. But Josh told us a Catholic horror story where he was like, I'm not really feeling Catholicism anymore, and I don't know if mm-hmm. I want to get I can't remember what it was. It was a baptismal thing or something like that. And his mom was told him hey, if you don't do this, I'm going to unenroll you from the school where all your friends are. I'm like, Jesus Christ. You're going to make them start all over? I'll send you a picture of what Josh in high school looked like, but the kid wouldn't have survived public school. Let's just say that. They would have ate him alive. They would have gobbled him up. Okay.
So. I went to a Catholic school from preschool through eighth grade, and mm-hmm. sixth through eighth grade specifically was when all the other kids were like, we don't want to be friends with this girl anymore. they were like, you know her? Let's just not talk to her.
I really have a crush on Jeremy, and you come in and be like, Ned Flanders really gets my oyster boiling. Be like, okay, Ella.
Oh, my God.
Hoddly diddly do, ladies.
So my things in middle school, were The Simpsons mm-hmm. and also The Office and Arrested Development. Those were my three big ones. And then also Purity Ring era Disney Channel. So Miley Sue, Hannah Montana.
Lizzie McGuire, I guess.
Lizzie McGuire is not necessarily in that era. I would count it from
too fucking old.
Like, Oh my god. Because they never made Hillary Duff be like, "Hi, I'm Hillary Duff. I'm a virgin." I think that's partially because she was dating the Good Charlotte guy. They were like, "We can't convince anybody she's a virgin."
Can't do that to old Lizzie. But that was like that. That was what you ingested then. Was that era? Yeah, and everyone.
So it was so like Miley Cyrus, Selena Gomez, Demi Lovato, and the Jonas Brothers all would go into like. Oh my! I didn't think they were hot.
You like, didn't wait. Sorry, I promise. Okay.
I didn't. Oh, okay. Never mind.
Yeah,
I didn't think they were hot for a long time.
You're not on trial here.
But no, they would all go to goddamn Tiger Beat magazine, and they'd be interviewed and be like, "Yeah, we're waiting for marriage." And then they were all friends with each other, and they were all having sex with each other.
Oh,
and
my God.
I was just really into it.
Hell yeah. In the long
time. I mean, I didn't know that they were having sex with each other, but like, come on. You watch the Set It On music video where they're all singing about saving the earth together. There were some fucking drenched pussies, hard cocks in there.
Dude,
you know there were.
They were squishing pissers, man. That's what. That's
they. They were. Miley and Demi recently admitted that they had sex with each other during that era.
Oh my god, you follow this? Hold on. What is it? The Miley who? Hold on, we're going.
Miley
Cyrus and who?
Miley Cyrus and Demi Lovato had sex.
Had.
That's the end of the story.
Sex. Hold on, I gotta take off my parental block. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
first
yeah.
thing
so,
I see is from Mirror.com UK. Miley Cyrus hints that she and Demi Lovato were gay as fuck. Hell yeah. That's what's up.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I know. I mean, they both of them are openly... I think they both consider themselves pan. I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth. I love pan people.
Oh, God. Like, I'm afraid I'm... I thought we were meant... But I have still not even, like, taken the time to educate myself between that. But I do get... Yeah, I get the vibe. Yeah. Yeah.
Good enough.
Good
Perfect.
Enough. Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So back to when I was at Queen of Peace. I went from Catholic school from preschool through eighth grade. I had a terrible time in Catholic school and towards the end. So I went to the local public school and it's the same thing that I had back at Queen of Peace mm-hmm. where like nobody wanted to be my friend. Turns out it works for 20 people and 2,000.
All right. Like he's going to school, be like, "Please, guys, like I will do your homework. I'll pay you money. I will give you money. I just need something for God's sakes. I just need something."
Genuinely, yeah.
I
became friends with people on Tumblr and shit, but you know what I mean.
Man,
sorry.
Well, I had like shitty rural internet, so. I had to talk to all these rednecks and hicks, and like I got really wrapped up into I guess it's like Baptist, General Baptist, but like I went to like a really hardcore non-denominational church and became a crazed fundamentalist Christian that took me years to deprogram myself from, and like, man, if I had that sweet DSL hookup, not dick sucking lips. I mean like internet connection.
No,
okay,
yeah.
you know what I'm talking about?
Have those, but
I do. I they're very plush and kissable. They're like Andrew Tate. Wait, speaking of him,
they're like
we're an anti Andrew Tate podcast. Hope that's clear. But that guy has the biggest kissable gay lips I've ever seen in my life.
No, he looks like he'd be a gay icon if not for the whole human trafficking.
Yeah,
thing.
He's. I think he's a bottom. He's totally a bottom.
Oh my that god, a fucking
those,
power bottom. He looks like he has like lube permanently sealed in his taint to squeeze in his ass. He's just rocking ready to roll.
Yeah, it's like a button above his navel. He's like a lubricating for your pleasure. So oh, go ahead.
So, no, you go. I was gonna make another joke about how Andrew Tate's head looks like you can like hump your clit on it and you can come, and that's the only way a woman would get off with him.
I like this.
But anyway,
No. I like this. I like dunking on Andrew Tate. Anyway, I grew up a fundamentalist Christian, but no.
Oh.
Andrew Tate does have a vibrator-looking brain. I do agree. That dome.
Yes. Oh my god.
Super
yeah.
polished. When he got arrested, he was doing those pouty like kissable duck lips too, and I'm like, I've never experimented with being gay, but Andrew Tate's got me acting up here, okay? He's looking like a snack. He's looking like a double wide surprise out there. But unfortunately,
I recommend doing some gay shit. It rules.
It, yeah, I need to. I need to just kiss my best friend on the lips when he's not. I actually already do that. My favorite thing to do to my best bud Tyler. You remember Tyler?
I know Tyler.
Coming up with the Cape Girardeau guys, so you would just stumble into the nearest bar mic in downtown St. Louis, tell their super highbrow jokes. Yeah. My favorite thing now to do to Tyler is when he's doing like his mic at Blue Strawberry, or if he's out at another one, and he's like with a group of people and I don't know them, I will announce to them like, "Hey, y'all want to see some gay shit?" And I will grab his face and try and kiss him on the mouth. Is what my new
Jesus thing. Christ. Oh my God.
It is.
Sometimes you say things and I'm like, I'm so glad I'm not a man. Jesus Christ.
We are an aggressively pro-LGBTQ podcast.
My thing is I have friends are like, I'm straight, wink. And then sometimes we'll get drunk at a party and like show each other our tits or make out a little bit. And then they go back to their idiot improv boyfriends, and I'm like, thanks. I say idiot very compassionately.
Yeah, yeah, they're lame. They don't eat box. Those boyfriends, they're all missionary. They ain't doing the hard work.
Oh, hell no.
They don't know how to really love a woman, to be honest.
They don't know how to A to C.
They don't, they don't know how to do that. So. Wait, so you do improv.
What's up?
You do improv.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been doing improv longer than I've been doing stand-up. I've been doing that for 9 years.
Your school have... Okay, so you did improv when you were in high school then?
Not at high school. I did a summer camp at Second City the summer before my senior year.
Okay.
It was really fun. I loved it. My dad and I drove to Chicago together. And then he works from home. He's worked from home since I was, like, 11. So he did all of his work from, like, the Chicago, like, little places. Like, he'd go to, like, The Bean or whatever the shit. Mm. And then I would, like, do improv games with people who don't talk to me anymore.
Oh.
And I was like, this is what I've meant to do. This is the only thing that I like doing, and I can do it.
I fall in love with my art, and I alienate the people I love.
I fell in love with my art, and I tried, yeah. And then I did it this next year, too.
Yeah.
After I graduated high school. Improv. And then I did class at the shop.
Improv seems pretty cool. I always, like, it would always get made fun of, I feel like, in the comedic lexicon, I guess, in the same way that you and I, when we weren't on here, we're making fun of theater kids. But, like,
yeah.
I see a value to it. I see that it's fun. I like it. It's a fine art form. There's probably less creeps in it, is there?
I feel like the thing is you can kind of suss out the creeps a little faster because vulnerability is so important. So, yeah. Like, I mean, it's not like we've never had creeps, but it's like, yeah. Like, it's like, oh, the person who hit on me when he was 32 and I was 20 also sent dick pics around? I'm shocked. I can't believe he's not here anymore. Wow.
Well, you mean to tell me that's not... To send that around for people who don't ask? That's not cool.
Yeah, sorry. It is, the worst part is when you attach a voice memo that says, "This is why girls won't fuck me."
It was just too small. What was wrong with it? Why I
guess
know
it was
logic.
Small. I'm very grateful.
This is why chicks
won't... I did not see this dick.
This is why chicks won't fuck me. It's got a swastika on the helmet. Is that what? It is? My black sun looking penis right here. No one's really into the things I am. I got 1488 tatted on one of my scrotes.
His ball hair spells out, "Work will set you free."
Yeah, that's our minus mic on it is what it does. Yeah, no one wants to be with me and my Nazi balls. Oh God, that would be now. That's comedy right there. Hey, that's something you might see in The Simpsons. Let me tell you.
So. Fucking hire me, man.
Come on, where you got Matt Groening?
I
James L. Brooks.
Fucking,
Yeah.
Jimmy Ellie Brook.
Jimmy L. Brooks. Jimmy Jim. Hire Ella. Diversify Please. Your workforce. You know?
Thank you.
I'm here. I'm an ally.
Did you know Pete Holmes wrote an episode of The Simpsons like 2 seasons ago now?
Oh shit.
Yeah. It's a Reverend Lovejoy spotlight episode, and Pete Holmes, surprise, plays a new hip pastor that comes to town.
What is his... I watched Crashing, but the last time... I didn't even finish the whole thing. I only watched it for a season of it way back in when I started my current job and was working in St. Louis off and on. And, like, I have really kind of, like, detached from comedy in general. Like, is Pete Holmes good? Is he a creep? I haven't heard anything about him.
No, yeah,
like,
I've never heard anything creepy about him.
He's a sweet
I think
boy.
Part of it is, like, first off, girls think he's hot. Every woman that I know that's done stand-up, I've been like, hey, Pete Holmes is hot. And they've been like, yeah, probably. Or, yeah, definitely. Pete Holmes is bonkers hot. He's 6'7". Uh-huh. He's got blue eyes. He's an Aries. His wife is, like, 10 years younger than him. They have a kid.
He
doesn't come off as fucking miserable. Dalton actually had this theory a while ago.
Yeah.
Where, like, because Pete Holmes' comedy is, like, a lot of, like, I think everything's magic kind of thing. But, like, when he goes to his wife or his friends or something, he's just livid about everything. That's when he's like, what the fuck is this? Like, that kind
of thing. I have a fucking image, goddammit. Or he's, like, really terrible to people, like service workers or whatnot. But, hey, it's you.
Oh, God.
You did the Batman thing. He was like, eat my ass. I want my chilies. Cheese fries. Like, just something crazy.
Honest to
like
God.
That. Yeah.
Honest to God, this sounds like a Pete Holmes joke. Because it's just the... Oh, my God. I also think that the best thing he ever did was the Pete Holmes show, his talk show on TBS from 2013 through 14. Mm-hmm. So it's like all my senior years that is the Pete Holmes show. There's one where he's like a therapist, but also his therapist is like... The therapist is trying to hit on the client and being like... Oh no, I bent over. Here's my ass. And then it cuts him and, like, whatever the hell. What's that thing called? Fetish wear.
Fetish wear. I like that. That's good.
Yeah, no. It escalates well. It's very Key and Peele is the most popular comedy on right now, sort of thing.
His comedy never struck me as mean. And, like.
No.
That's something I struggled with, especially early on, and I don't know if women comics, like, you know, when it comes to, like, I'm gonna write edgy jokes, of course I gotta say something about race, or, you know, I gotta write the first bold rape joke out there that gets a standing ovation, you know, like, just dumb edgy shit like that, where it's like, or like, the whole premise is that someone said something like, that could be vaguely misconstrued, and you just call him like a dumbass for like 5 minutes. It's like, it's hard to write humor that I think is not like very calloused and mean. And I really kind of respect Pete's writing for that.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And like, I know that I went through a phase where I was just going on stage and being really angry at like the way people treated me.
Oh, like, God, can we tell the Tripoli story?
Oh, yeah! Oh, my God, I forgot about that!
Oh, folks, this is a treat. So, one of my first interactions with Ella here, okay? I had heard, because in Cape, I ran a small independent comedy scene, so I would book, like, monthly shows. So I'd have comics come down if I liked them, like, who do you recommend? Or what mics they perform at so I can go see them and bring my buddies and see what we think. I think it was JC Sabala. JC recommended you. JC's sweet. He's such a great network.
JC's the fucking shit,
he's
dude.
He's a sweet boy.
He's somebody who, like, you feel like you earn something when he likes you.
Yeah, I would say so. The thing I liked, I cherished most in terms of, like, compliments when I did comedy was not my act, which is something I feel like I wish I would have But I got would have got more on or had written in a way that was more accessible. That JC was very complimentary on how we ran a show and what we made out of being like in a podunk town, and he was always a really good advocate for that. He is a great guy. Whenever I would do door guy stuff at Laughing Gas and he'd come by, always trying to make sure I worked a night there or I came up and saw him on there. So sorry, I got sidetracked. We were talking about comedy meanness, writing. The Tripoli story. Okay, so my only interaction with you, I was at Helium and I saw you perform and I was like, this chick's funny. And there was it was at Wild Card. And yeah. Sam Tripoli, who is a traveling comic, he has his own show, he's known, decided to pop in, which is a nice thing. To come to a local mic to do performance, and Ella fucking killed him. I will let you tell the rest. Love this.
So I didn't realize that he was somebody who was like a headliner, because a lot of the jokes that he was trying are very like, it's the first joke you kind of think of, like,
yeah.
What if Jesus was a stand-up comedian? I remember for sure that was one of his premises. And then he was bombing, understandably. Wildcards are also a famously difficult open mic to do. And I was sitting, not the front, but like near the front. So it's like a shotgun style thing where like the stage is in the front, like when you open the door, and then there's booths down the way. And I was sitting in one of the booths closer to the stage. And I like rolled my eyes at something he said. And then he called me a drunk bitch. And I was like...
Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
Not good. Not a good way to start.
Yeah. <Ugh. laughs> And I think he said some other shit too. He just went real aggro with me. Like, he's not like a he could, if neither of us knew any like kind of like extra fighting or Taekwondo, he could probably like hurt me. I'm very short, and at this time I was very, very petite and not as muscly as I am now, because I'm butch as shit. Yeah, anyway, so JC saw this and how he was just kind of like coming at me from where I was standing. And JC comes up and he's like, you're going next, right? And I was like, yeah. And then I went on stage and I just laid into the guy. I just went, you are stupid. I'm not drunk. Look at this. And I held up that my beer was mostly full. And then I don't remember everything. Quentin Wilbur later said that he didn't think that I was doing that well, but I think that just by proxy of me being on stage made me cool. Anyway, I got off stage and Sam Tripoli comes back to me and he says, hey, do you want a guest set?
You bullied him into a guest set. This traveling.
I didn't even get to do the guest. The punchline, I didn't even get to do the guest set, because the only time that it would have worked was when I was a bridesmaid at my cousin's wedding.
Oh, God. You throttled a nationally touring comic.
And then I fucked his feature.
What?
Yeah, that's what I did.
Oh, God. Can we name names? I don't know. Can we?
I'll tell you, but I might change my name or change my mind and ask you to edit it out. His name is...
Oh,
I don't
okay.
think he's doing... Yeah. Okay. I don't know if he's doing stuff now. Last I saw, he... What the hell, dude?
Is that cat?
Sorry, there's a dog. It's a dog. His name's Frosty. He's so silly. But that's why I didn't have my computer.
Yeah.
Is because it was at my apartment. I'm dog sitting for Tom Brown. Frosty is Tom Brown's dog.
I have
dog.
Tom Brown on next week. We're going to talk football. So.
Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah. Tom's a good guy.
Yeah. Last I heard, works at a casino. I don't know if he's around or does anything.
Yeah.
But then another comic came through, and I mentioned this story, and then she was like, I also had sex with and we high-fived, and it was very bonding.
Oh, hell yeah.
I think I might be the St. Louis comedy slut, but I'm not sure anymore.
Nothing wrong with that. You should have, like, went up there and be like, yeah, but I fucked her before you. She's like, when? He told me he fucked you first before, while I was fucking him. Yes. let's talk about your special. You have a special coming
out.
You recorded it November, if I remember?
Yes. November 5th. At the improv shop.
Oh, the improv shop. God damn it. I remember those days. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hachi machi. Okay.
Yeah.
It
was.
Yeah, yeah. Was it good?
It was really good. It was packed to the gills. I think that the fire department's like, you can't have more than 200 people in here at a time. I don't know if there was 200. I didn't take the time to count.
That's awesome.
But, like, a lot of my family came up. My best friend Mal, who lives in Long Island, she flew into St. Louis to see it.
What a fucking awesome friend.
I know. I mean, she wanted to visit anyway, but, like, she still came to see me. And she also wanted to see Sarah Silverman the next week, so I guess it worked out for everybody.
She was really there for you. Sarah who?
Yeah, no, yeah. Sarah Silverman lives in, what, Connecticut? Mal could see her anytime.
Yeah.
And I think I said this to you off mic. My friend Courtney, who I went to see her special, Courtney Warner's special, you should look it up. She's cool as hell.
Courtney's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I went to see hers, and she was gonna see mine, but she ended up having to work. So she sent me flowers the day of. Like, it was just, I don't know. I'm talking about the things that people have been nice to me about.
God.
Because I've done comedy.
Women are so supportive of their friends.
Yeah, I have rules, dude.
Oh, God. My friends all forgot whenever I had my big break.
Yeah.
My friends sent me death threats and doxed me. That's what my friends did.
I've never been doxxed, but I've received a lot of death threats on stage. Like, a lot.
What's the name of the title of the special?
It's We Should Write Together.
We Should Write Together.
Comedian Netflix and Chill. It's Comedian Netflix and Chill, yeah. So the idea is half of it, or part of it, I didn't keep time. I didn't time my own special. What do you think I am, a professional?
Fuck no.
Fuck no. Part of it is stand-up, mm-hmm. and then part of it is a one-woman show that I wrote. I started writing it in 2020 because, I don't know if you know this, but I was going to film a movie in August of 2020. And then, no, I didn't, obviously.
Yeah, something big happened. What was it? The Dodgers won the World Series. Again, baseball podcast, everyone.
Yeah, that was so shocking to me.
And then, oh yeah, the world caught on fire. That's what it was.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And damn it, if it still ain't burning bright.
So you had that avenue cut off and you wrote, you're saying you wrote this during 2020 then?
Yeah, there were a few options that I had that I wanted it to be like something that I wrote to be like a movie or something.
Okay.
But I wanted it to be smaller so I didn't have to do all the movie stuff. And Liz Zirkel, who might be a friend of the podcast, she's Jeremy's wife, but also more importantly, she's a romance novelist and podcaster. So when I told her these things, she was like, what if you wrote it as a podcast? So I started writing it as a podcast so that I could do, and made all the characters really small so I could do their voices or whatever. I could make it clear who each person was, and then it became smaller and smaller, and I realized I could make it like a storytelling podcast, and then I thought slightly bigger because vaccines were available, and I wrote it to be a one-woman show. I was going to submit it to Fringe this year,
mm-hmm.
And I wasn't sure if it was ready because I'm kind of a perfectionist about a lot of things, but then I saw some of the things that did get into Fringe, and I was like, it was ready.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I get that.
Yeah.
So we have half of it's stand up, half of it is I mean, what is like a one person show then? I guess a play, I guess a sketch, a skit.
Basic.
Yeah, I would say a play. It's a play, right? It's a monologue, I guess. A soliloquy, I don't know. I learned that in English. So what you have here, I don't know why I thought this, but I think I'm going to sound like an ass when I bring it up. It reminds me of Neil Brennan's Three Mics, is what it kind of reminds me of.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know if his would be more like a one-person show in that aspect, but in terms of, like, tonal shifts about here's ha-ha funny time, here is ha-ha art time, or ha-ha serious time, something like that. And I really like that. I cannot wait until it's available so I can hear it, because I can only imagine. I really like, I guess terms juxtaposition here. I really like, the concept of your manic presentation when it came to like stand up. And maybe it's different from when I last was able to come up and see you, but every time you would go up, I'm like, here we fucking go, dude. Strap in. We're gonna Ella's gonna burn someone to the ground, or burn us all to the ground here. And I always love that. It was never dry. It was so kinetic. And so we combine like this, like you have half the show in terms of just like this kinetic exploding star. Now you have like the one person show now. Like what? So yeah. So walk me through like the one person show then. Is it
okay?
What's the setup here? Sorry, I'm gabbing too much.
No, you're fine. So the concept is, this was one of the things that I thought could be a movie that like happened in my real life. But when I was 21, I did a comedy festival in Nashville, and I hooked up with a comedian there. Mm-hmm. And that's basically the short version of it. And I had a lot of like feelings for this person, and I was a much better comic than them too. But I liked the setting of it being a comedy festival. I liked that it was a city so interesting as Nashville. And they don't do this festival anymore, but every year they would break the world record for longest comedy show.
Yeah.
So it took about 8 days total for them to perform. So they needed like Guinness officials there. And I know a little bit more about Guinness not being like super official anymore, but they were like, we need 2 Guinness officials per whatever. They can switch out as whenever they want, but 2 Guinness officials for the whole time.
Yeah.
So this person was one of the Guinness officials. He had only been doing comedy for 6 months or something. So yeah, obviously it was better. And then I also got into a car accident on the way there. So I talk about getting into the car accident, and I needed somebody to drive me because I didn't have like a car that was street legal anymore. So I leaned on him, and I leaned on like my friends who were living there. That's actually where I met Courtney, was this special or festival. Jesus Christ, Ella.
Mm-hmm.
So when I do the special, I get off stage, I'm done doing my stand-up, and I'm like, all right, that's it. See you later, everybody. And then I walk off. And then I was hoping it'd be just dead silent, but then I could hear my dad chanting my name in the back of the room, and I was like, God damn it, you little geek.
But I didn't say it. Father. I just...
Oh, my God. I didn't know those existed.
Nope, definitely not.
Because my dad has always been very, like, critical about everything in my life. Ooh. And then I find out, like, later, like, from, like, a third person, like, oh, yeah, he loved that show. He was laughing his ass off the whole time.
Hell yeah.
Crazy. Hell yeah. I know, right?
Goddamn right, man.
Yeah. So I get off stage. So I come back on the stage. There's, like, doors on the Improv Shop main stage. So I leave one of the doors, and I go in through the other, and I'm like, wow, I'm home. And then I sit down, and I kind of talk to the audience more Fleabag style, I think is the best way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
I took some influences from like broadcast news too, just in like the way that I wanted the tone to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. How long? Yeah. So it's a marathon then. It sounds like a real endurance.
Yeah.
Test.
It's a whole hour.
God damn. And it comes out, you say, in March?
March 15th. Yeah.
Cannot wait to check it
out. You can't.
There's
a release party at Heavy Anchor.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
I
put it on myself. I
will definitely come up and catch it up at Heavy Anchor. I miss going to that place, so.
I'm not going to show it at the Heavy Anchor. I don't think I'm going to show it at the Heavy Anchor. I don't want to watch my own
face,
you know?
Those plebs have to pay for this art. Let's get...
It's free, Tom. Yeah. Come on.
No,
it's free.
No, we are now shifting from being a lefty pod to a strictly anarcho-capitalist pod. So all we're going to talk about now is the free market and eliminating the age of consent. Okay? Welcome.
Literally, I'm just putting it on YouTube, man. I'm not even going to get AdSense from it because I use copyrighted music.
Yeah.
I might actually get AdSense from it. I don't know how it works. I just watch, like, a bunch of, like, really angry fucking bread tubers where they're like AdSense, and I'm like, I just want to listen to you talk about your stuff. You're so pretty, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I love ContraPoints, but goddamn it, she's gonna it takes her forever to make a video. Wait, which bread tubers?
Oh my god. I mean, yeah, ContraPoints. Yeah. I miss Lindsay Ellis.
I know she got bullied off.
The classic ones. Big Joel, an H-Bomber guy.
Yeah. That's where you probably picked up the Guinness thing, is from H-Bomb, right?
Exactly, yeah.
The fucking Tommy Tallarico, goddammit.
Fucking Tommy Tallarico.
Tommy Tallarico. Then,
okay, are you aware, just because this is somewhat within this sect, are you aware of the 8-hour iCarly deep dive on YouTube?
What?
Okay.
What the fuck did you just say? Do you
know... 8-hour iCarly. This is the only thing I've watched for like 2 years. So the YouTuber's name's Quint Reviews.
Okay. Hold on. What? I gotta see it with my eyes. iCarly.
Oh my
hour.
God. So there's two of them that total up to 8 hours.
Oh my god. The failure of Victorious. 5.5 hours?
I eat this shit up.
Oh my god, dude. I do too, but holy shit.
No, this is like exactly what content I've been looking for. I never understood why people got into like Ken Burns or anything until Quentin fucking Reviews came up on the scene.
Why not?
I love these videos.
So what it is to me when I'm looking at this, okay, so...
Okay, please.
It's like a podcast, like, and a podcast I listen to is like Blowback, you know?
Okay.
We're trying to do something with our pod on it, too, where we make, like, an episodic, you know, like, I'm in the middle of writing two big-ass scripts that one of them's going to be about 3 or 4 hours, the other one's going to probably go on forever. But, like... So that's what I'm kind of looking at. It's like, it's episodic. I see it's like queued up into 10 chapters, but like, the editing portion on my end, Ella, is some audio. This motherfucker, I don't have to click on it. I know he's got to pull clips. He's got to have himself in there. He probably has some jokes, some memes, some other audio clips. He's probably got a shit ton of news articles he's got to put in there.
Oh, yeah. You basically watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
How did you have fucking 24 hours condensed into 30 seconds?
I can, like, I'm looking at this, and, like, I can feel, like, I literally feel a blood vessel about to burst. It's not even like I'm annoyed, but I'm just, I can't comprehend it, man. I'm staring, I guess it's the abyss. He's got two of them. He's got fucking, how many? I gotta click on his page. Okay, so keep feeding me this, keep feeding me this stuff right here. What your love for content like this?
Oh my god! Yeah, I've needed it in my veins. I grew up with iCarly. Like, okay. I always thought it was cool because, like, even I don't know. Another YouTuber summed this up pretty well when Jeanette McCurdy's "I'm Glad My Mom Died" came out this year.
Yeah,
where like '90s Nick, they weren't like scared of having girls that were a little bit aggressive, like an Angelica Pickles or a Helga Pataki. But Angelica and Helga are just like whole ass bullies. Like, they're empathetic, but they are just like mean a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Sam is mean, but she's also like a genuinely good friend, and she goes through like evolutions. And same with Carly, is she like, she goes from being somebody who's like really anxious and tied up and like misses her dad, and then in the finale, spoiler alert, mm-hmm. she goes to see her dad in the military and goes with him to Italy
and kills him.
And I wish, bro, I fucking wish. That's what I've heard that the Paramount reboot is about, her killing her dad.
Yeah. Oh my god. Yeah. I'm looking at this guy's history, and it's like what I would expect from, like, a bread tuber, like, 30 to 40-minute videos, like, you know, him, how documentaries lie to you, bad Nazi documentaries, largest Garfield plush, and then the last viewers, the 100 people that listen to this, we hit Requiem for a Themed McDonald's, his last 5 episodes, 3.5 hours, almost 5, 3.5, 5.5, 8 fucking hours and another 5. What, this guy is a madman. They,
in his second channel, he has a, so each video there's intermissions between seasons. So it'll be like, here review season 1, here's a little intermission about the culture, season 2 intermission about the culture, yada yada yada.
Oh my god,
he made a video that's all the intermissions and it's also another 8 hours. So that's what I like listen to when I'm like making breakfast or cleaning my cat's litter box.
I've taken a couple like autism spectrum tests and have scored, you know, I've scored on the spectrum and I'm like, oh, okay. So I can see like, I have, you know, I have these tendencies, I have these qualities and whatnot. And like, I'm looking at this guy, I'm like, I feel like I want to be the corporation's an avatar and he's Pandora. I want to harvest this dude's autism so bad right now. I want to put a fucking tube into him. I want to slurp it out. I'm like, I want the shit he has because like, I got to drink like 2 big cups of coffee. I'm like, I'm in the mode. I can write. I can do this research. I can get, I'm like, he's pounded out 8 hours on iCarly. Get the fuck out. What am I doing with my life?
Oh. iCarly has a lot to talk about, though. I'm so serious. And there were a lot of takes that I had when I premiered. And then he's the one coming in here. And I'm like, thank you. Finally, somebody who gets it. I also, instead of calling myself autistic, I like to say that I've got a touch of the tiz.
A touch of the tiz, miss.
A touch of the tiz. In.
Going down to the turd chested, I have a point in a cup of the tiz. So... Okay.
I just wanted to shoehorn that in real quick.
Thank you. But yeah, I'm going to use that. My friends and I say it's the, I have the tism, but I like a touch of the tiz. That seems more endearing. Okay.
We thought of it while stoned.
we gotta wrap up. You got any final memes? What do you got, any more you want to plug? What do you got?
If you are in Arkansas from March 8th through the 10th, I will be in Northwest Arkansas. I'll be in Rogers, Fayetteville, and Springdale on different days. And so when do you think this is going to come out? Because there's something that I'm tomorrow. Not allowed to announce till Wednesday.
Yeah.
Okay, shit. Fuck. Okay. Well, never mind then.
Well, you text it to me. I'll put it on our Twitter and... I'll
sweet.
Make sure get, or we'll shout it out on when we record next. We record next on Wednesday, and I can just scream that out if you want. So.
Big chillin'. Love that. It's very exciting.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right. Folks, that's Ella Fritz, everyone. Ella, thank you for coming on. This has been an excellent interview.
Thank you so much for having me, Tom. I really appreciate it.